This morning we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're talking about sexual freedom this morning. To give you a little background of what we've been covering, if I can get this to work right, we've been in a series that I've called Seeing Life Through God's Lenses, in which we want to be able to see life the way that God sees it and the way that He has set it up for us, so that we can live in a way that's not destructive, but a way that is a blessing. How can we walk in God's blessings? How can we see life for what it really is? And so we started out this series the very first week talking about living life in focus, because we really don't see clearly. The world teaches us one thing, and the Word of God teaches us something very different a lot of times. And so we need to be able to see clearly. And to start off the whole series, we looked at seeing clearly, and then we looked at the very first thing to understand is that we were made in God's image, made to glorify Him by reflecting that image back to Him and to the world. And yet we were born into sin, and so we talked about how that has marred our image, the image of God in us, and has corrupted all of the things of God around us. Then we talked about the fact that you're not an accident, that there is a purpose to your life, and that purpose is to bring glory to God. And these things are very, very important to understand, because everything that we're going to talk about for the rest of the time is based on this. You were created by God as in His image. Sin has marred that image and brought destruction, but you are not an accident. You were created for a purpose. That purpose is to bring glory to Him. And so all of creation and all of the creation story through the Scripture is about bringing us back to that glory that we have with God for all eternity. That's what eternity really is. That's what salvation is all about. A lifetime or an eternity with God to bring glory to Him. That's what we're heading towards. What heaven, a lot of people have this idea of heaven as being some place where I'm rewarded for my good behavior and I sit around and God just takes care of me all the time. No, heaven is the ability to praise God forever without sin, without destruction, no tears, no pain. All of these things get in our way of experiencing God in all His fullness. And when I get to be in heaven for eternity, I get the fullness of God without anything hindering it. That's what we should be excited about when we think about heaven. Billy Graham right now has nothing in the way of his worship of his Savior. That is a glorious thing. Now, we talked about, at the beginning of the month, the fact that God is our authority, and then we went into the pleasures of life, that many people think that pleasure comes from sin, but pleasure, sinful pleasures bring destruction. They're truly not eternal pleasures, that our real pleasure is found in God. And so that leads us into this week. In thinking about the pleasures that the world offers, sexual freedom is something that the world has been offering for quite a while now. It's interesting, if you look back on the downfall of all cultures, it seems that sexual sin always is at the center of it. There hasn't been a civilization that's come about that sex hasn't been one of its weaknesses, or even the main weakness. But to remind you again how easily we get sucked into lies, I want to show you something that's been on the internet this past week. Maybe you saw it on Facebook. Red Cross installs blood drop-off bins for donors' convenience. That's crazy, huh? So what the article says is that, expressing their hope that the new initiative would encourage more people to give, American Red Cross officials announced Friday that they had begun installing blood drop-off bins for donors to make it easy for you to drop off your blood. A lot of people believed this. Okay. Can I tell you, when you see a news item like this, this is what they call fake news, right? You know, the worst part about this is you wouldn't get credit, like if you went in and gave your blood. But, you know, there are a lot of things that people believe. There are a lot of lies that we're prone to believe. And some of them can be very dangerous. The idea of sexual freedom is one of the most dangerous lies that we've bought into. And I say we because it seems like our entire culture has bought into this. 1960s brought about this whole sexual revolution in the United States where people said, we need to throw off restraint and teach people that they can do what they want without guilt, without shame. And they acted like this was going to be a wonderful thing. Instead, men like these have thrived on the whole idea of sexual freedom, doing whatever you want. This is the Me Too year, because Harvey Weinstein, it was finally revealed that for decades, I'm sure you've heard his name, he was a Hollywood mogul that was the producer of many, many big movies and had a lot of people's careers in his hands. He's been accused by 84 different women of everything from sexual molestation to assault to harassment, the whole gamut, 84 different women. And those are just the ones that have come forward. Dustin Hoffman has been accused by 8 women of sexual harassment. Kevin Spacey has been Academy Award-winning actor, has been accused of sexual molestation, not just by women, but by men as well, by boys. Matt Lauer on NBC, 7 women have accused him of sexual harassment. Charlie Rose on the PBS NewsHour, 8. This man was a stalwart in the news for decades. President Bill Clinton, not just accused of sexual harassment, but accused of rape. Bill O'Reilly of Fox News, 6 different people have come forward and accused him of harassment. And you know about Bill Cosby a few years ago. 45 different women have accused him of rape. Donald Trump has been accused by 15 different women of harassment. Even here in our own city of New Orleans, famous chef John Besh, who was on the cover of Parade magazine just a year or so ago, accused by, 25 different women of harassment. These are the things that were able to flourish because we have this idea in this country that sexual freedom should be what people strive for. Some other things that come about because of this idea of sexual freedom. 110 million Americans are thought to have sexually transmitted diseases. You know what the population of the United States is? Something like 323 million. A third of all Americans are said to have sexually transmitted diseases. 20 million new sexually transmitted infections every year in the United States, with a total cost to the United States healthcare industry, $16 billion. Sexually transmitted diseases that go undiagnosed lead to 20,000 women a year becoming infertile. Things like chlamydia and gonorrheal infections that are undiagnosed. 1 million abortions per year in just this country. That's 2 abortions every minute. This is what sexual freedom is about. This is what we have aspired to as a country, to be sexually free. We have a hookup culture. 40% of all births in the United States are now out of wedlock. 20% of girls and 8% of boys have been sexually molested in this country by their 18th birthday. And children who live in a home with just a single parent and their live-in partner are 20 times more likely than children living with both biological parents to be molested. It's estimated that more than 1.8 million children worldwide are forced into the sex trade, and approximately 100,000 American children are at risk for being forced into the sex trade, trafficked. Pornography is rampant. 12%, get your mind around this, one in every eight websites, 12% of all websites on the internet have pornographic content on them. More than 400,000 pornography websites altogether. They generate 450 million hits per month. So if you are into Facebook and things like that, you know when you get liked and you get these hits, think 450 million hits. $4.9 billion a year industry, just internet pornography in this country. Worldwide, it's something like $15 billion industry. 40% of the pornography on the internet depicts violence towards women. And 56% of all divorces now involve porn obsessions. Average age of pornography exposure now is 14 years old. And most of that is hardcore, what they would consider hardcore pornography. 93% of males and 62% of females are exposed to this internet pornography by the age of 18. 500,000 daily searches, not just for porn, but for teen-related porn, and 116,000 daily searches for child pornography. Is this what sexual freedom's all about? Do what you want. Do what you want. See, the problem is when you look up the word freedom. Now, I yesterday used Google to look up freedom definition. And the very beginning definition on Google was basically to have no restraint, to say and act and do whatever you want. Now, that's not the classic definition of freedom. The classic definition of, if you go to Webster's, it doesn't say it that way. It says freedom is basically, it comes down to the lack of being enslaved or the lack of being in bondage. And yet I found it interesting that Google had, for its definition, the ability basically to do whatever you want with no restraint. That's exactly what we're talking about with these statistics I've just given you. Doing what you want with no restraint. Now, I will tell you that biblical freedom, the Bible defines freedom very differently. Because if you and I were created in God's image, and if our whole purpose is to worship God, to bring Him praise, which fulfills us with a sense of satisfaction and joy and fills our purpose in life, then what would freedom be? Freedom would be the ability to praise God without hindrance, without restraint, but to restrain the things that take me away from God. You see, the world's idea of freedom is I have nothing restraining me. I can do whatever I want. But biblical freedom is I am restrained. I restrain my passions, I restrain my lusts, I restrain the flesh so that I can freely worship my Creator. So biblical freedom is the absence to bondage in sin. The ability to freely worship God and experience the fullness of His glory. And anything that gets in the way of that is going to be the opposite of freedom. If I fall into a sin that keeps me from worshiping the Lord, that is bondage. That's not freedom. I need freedom to be able to worship God the way that I was created to do. Will you stand with me as we read together and honor God through the readings of His Word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of them. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning that you would use your word to convince us of the truth. The truth, Lord, that freedom is found in you. The freedom to find joy, the freedom to worship, the freedom to find our satisfaction in you alone. And that what the world teaches us as freedom is truly bondage to the flesh and to lust and to sin. Lord, set us free this morning. If there's anyone here this morning that is struggling because of a bondage that their sinful flesh keeps falling into, Lord, bring freedom into their life. Break those chains. Release them. And let them experience life the way that you have made for them to do. Lord, I pray this in your holy name. Amen. Will you please be seated? So true sexual freedom, if freedom is the ability to completely worship God without restraint upon us, without bondage to the flesh and sin, what would sexual freedom be? Sexual freedom would be the ability to experience sexuality within the confines that God has given to us, the ability to bring glory to God through our sexuality. Now, if you're getting nervous that I'm going to get in detail, no, I'm not. But I do want us to understand these principles, and these principles are not just, they don't just apply to sex. But since we have such sex-filled minds in this country, it's a good place to start to understand it. Some things that I hope that you see with me out of this passage. First of all, we were created for God. That's our purpose, that's our goal, is to fulfill the purpose that God created us for. We were created for him and by him. We find our being in him and through him. And unrestrained sexuality, casting off restraints, doing whatever I want, leads to nothing but bondage. I might think I'm free, but in reality, I am a slave to that sin. Freedom is found in the restraint of the flesh and the ability to freely worship the Lord. First of all, we were created for God. Look at what the scripture says here in verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. You notice that the apostle is writing to the church in Thessalonica and letting them know, here is the goal of life. Here is what you need to keep at the forefront. We've already instructed you how to live to please God. That should be what your life is about. If you want to find, you know, here's the biggest problem. I'm going to try to forget these words like biggest and most because I use them too easily. But here is a big problem that we have. We buy into this idea that the world has about everything. We buy into how to get pleasure. We buy into the same idea, twisted, that it's not pleasurable to follow the Lord. That somehow God is trying to restrain you when he tells you not to sin, when God punishes sin, that somehow it's because he hates your guts. You ever seen people do this? Try to tell you that if God really loved you, he wouldn't put restraints on you like that? How about this? You ever heard somebody say it's hateful to discipline your children? Try spanking your child in Winn-Dixie. By the way, it's not going to be Winn-Dixie anymore. Try spanking your child in Walmart and see how many people come out maybe even call the police on you because they think it's hateful to actually spank a child. They think it's hateful that somehow you're doing that because you're showing hatred towards the child. They're completely turning things upside down. Why did, and I guess we still do, although our kids are bigger than us now, so it's a lot harder to discipline them in that way. But why did we discipline our children raising them? So that they could understand wrong from right, so that they could choose right, so that they could have freedom and not go down a path that would lead to destruction. Why does my Heavenly Father put rules and regulations in front of me? Why does He discipline me when I sin against those rules? Because my Heavenly Father wants glory for me. And I'm not going to see the glory when I'm wallowing in the mud. So, if He wants me to be holy and clean and set apart for His glory, then there must be something of extreme benefit to that. You see, we look at it as a negative. God tells me, stay away from sexual immorality. Like, oh, why is He doing that? No, He's doing that because in sexual immorality, you will destroy yourself, you will destroy your family, you will destroy everyone around you. But if you'll walk with Him away from the sin, you will experience joy. You will experience peace. You know, this is, I don't know how to be straight line today. I'm all over the place. But this reminds me of all those years before I came to know Christ. When I was driving my car and a police car came anywhere near me, I froze. I was absolutely certain that I would be pulled over at any moment because that was the norm for me. Because I was usually doing something wrong. And after I got saved and started walking with the Lord, now police cars come by and I think, wow, where are you going? I see one come right behind me. I see in the rearview mirror. And I go, hey, it's a police officer. I know how to live in peace now because I know how to walk with the Lord. It's as simple as that. You were created by God. We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you're living. Look what he says in verse 3. It's God's will that you should be sanctified. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be set apart. The word holy, the word sanctified, these have very similar meanings. And you can't really understand the meaning of either one of these words without understanding the Lord and the scripture, because these are words that apply to being set apart for God Himself. If something is holy, if something is sanctified, it has been taken away from the rest of the world and it has been put aside as for God's use and His glory. You and I, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been set apart for God's glory. You have been sanctified. And so the point here is God says you're set apart, so you should go ahead and be set apart. Why would you take something that is only, put it this way, if you have animals at your home, you probably have dishes for them to eat out of. And if you're like most people, those aren't the same dishes that you yourself eat out of. Why? Why don't you want to eat off of the dog's bowl? Dog would love to eat off of your bowl. But why is it? I mean, soap is soap, right? Just wash it with soap. You know, it amazes me sometimes when my wife finds something, a Tupperware, that has been in the fridge for too long, her answer to that is to throw it away. I say, wait a minute, you can just apply soap to that. I'm never eating out of that. Just wash it. Don't you dare. You better throw that away because I am not eating out of that. Why? Because some things are meant for us. Some things are meant for the dog. Some things are meant to be clean. Some things can be dirty. The Lord says, my people are meant for me. I'm not going to share them with the world. That would be like eating out of the dog bowl. So instead of you and I living in the dog bowl and then showing up in front of the Lord, we're supposed to pull ourselves away from that and be separate. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. You were created for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us the body is not meant for sexual immorality. By the way, I don't have time to go into it, but this word that's translated sexual immorality, it's something like porneia in the Greek. That's where we get the word pornography from. In the King James, it was usually translated fornication. So you'll see fornication or sexual immorality, it refers to any sexual activity outside of marriage. The body is not meant for it, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. 1 Peter 2 tells us, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Live as if you were created for God, for His glory, and set apart from the world. So we need to understand that we've been created for God and for His glory, and we need to understand that this idea of unrestrained sexuality really is not freedom. The world calls it sexual liberation, as if you've been liberated and set free. But the truth is, all that's happened is you've been put into bondage, if you believe it, if you follow it. Scripture tells us in verse 3 here, you should avoid sexual immorality. Each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy. What does the word holy mean? Set apart. In a way that is set apart, holy, and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. So if I've been set apart for God, I've been created by God, I am His, and I know Him, then I shouldn't live like those who don't know Him. How do those who don't know Him live? Well, they live in passionate lust, following the pleasures of life, including sexual pleasures. Hedonism is a term that's used for those who chase after pleasure for its own sake. Honestly, most of society lives hedonistically, whether they know it or not. And we are not that way. That leads to bondage. Let me show you how it leads to bondage. In 2 Peter chapter 2, there's a passage that talks a lot about false teaching and false teachers. And it says in verse 1, there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Verse 13, it says, their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. They believe in freedom in all areas of the flesh. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. And here's the kicker. They promise them freedom. They entice people who are trying to walk away from the sin. They entice people who want a better life. They entice those who may be heading towards a righteousness that they find in Christ. And they entice them how? By telling them, hey, over here is freedom. Isn't that exactly what the sexual liberation movement has done? Come enjoy sexual freedom. Stop worrying about all this God stuff, because he just wants you to not enjoy things. But come over here where real pleasure is. Come over here and you will be free. But here's what Scripture tells us about them. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves to depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Do you know that pornography addiction is steadily rising? There are men who are incapable of holding down jobs, of interacting at all with women. I was reading on the internet, reading a report this week of men who have an addiction of 5 hours a day of internet pornography. Absolutely takes over their life. And again, like I mentioned to you before, there's no stopping. They cannot be satisfied, so they get deeper and deeper and deeper in weirder and more heinous types. That's how you get this whole rise of teenage and child pornography, because those that get addicted to the hardcore porn, it's not enough anymore. And they keep moving and moving towards things that are worse and worse and worse. They are absolutely slaves because the sin has mastered them. Anything you give yourself to, you become a slave of. That's not freedom. That's anything but. Jesus told us, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But the great news is that Christ has come to set us free. And freedom is found in Christ and in restraining the flesh. There's so many passages that talk about restraining our flesh. But let's just go back to 1 Thessalonians here. You should avoid sexual immorality. Each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. The goal is to please the Lord. The goal is to seek him and know his glory. And in order to get there, I also have to learn how to control these passions and lusts inside me. Now, we're talking about sexual passions and lusts, but it can apply to any passions and lusts that take you over. Some of you struggle with anger, and rage can just boil up in a moment. You are supposed to learn to control that. Some of you can't control your tongue. Your mouth just gets away with it before you can even think. You are required to learn to control the tongue. Why? Because those things lead to destruction, and in order to fulfill the glory of God and see the glory of God in your life, you must also learn to control what leads to destruction. Galatians 5 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. John 8, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. It's not just enough to say I love Jesus and then I'm a Christian. I hold to his teaching. I restrain the flesh. I seek him out. I worship him. All these things are actions that lead to the salvation. It's all part of it. You're not working for your salvation, but you're working out your salvation. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So freedom is not just the absence of bondage, it's the absence of bondage to sin. I'm created by God. What the world says leads to freedom just leads to more bondage in sin. It's the restraint that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life that truly gives me freedom. Because the goal of freedom is the ability to worship God and experience his fullness. And the goal of sexual freedom is the ability to experience the fullness of God in my sexuality, in marriage. The ability to enjoy sex for the purpose it was created for without being in bondage to the sinful ways that have perverted it. That's true freedom, and that's true joy. Which statements do you believe? Which are you going to believe what the world tells you about freedom? Or are you going to believe what the Bible tells you? Will you find true freedom where Christ truly sets you free from anything that keeps you from experiencing the fullness of worshiping your Creator? Or will you believe the lies of the world and chase down all the pleasures it tries to get you in bondage to? They will not bring you closer to Christ. They will lead to destruction and devastation. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come to you and pray that our lives would be set apart for your glory. And Lord, there's so many areas that our flesh leads us into temptation. So many areas that Satan uses to try to destroy us and to try to destroy the work that you have done in us. Teach us, Lord, how to restrain the flesh, put it to death so that we may live. And Lord, give us eyes that we can see so clearly the lies that Satan has deceived the world with, so that we can instruct others, so that we can help them, Lord. Show them what the lifeboat is. Show them that you love them and that you want their salvation. Lord, do this work in us. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that is struggling, that has found themselves in bondage and only recently realized it, if it's a sexual sin or if it's any sin, Lord, I pray they would see that they can find true freedom in you. Freedom to live in peace and joy. Freedom to find satisfaction, to find their true purpose and meaning. Release them as they turn to you. Break those chains that have bound them for so many years, that their hearts would truly be free. Will you continue in prayer?